Hey, so this is just the raw version, and I thought I'd just upload it for shits and giggles.
Start the process.
Recording in progress.
All right. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Watchers of the Plus. This is Sam Adams coming at you, and you just knew we had to eventually interfere. And here I am with my main man, my main interferer, Phil Moslak.
Well, how's it going, Mos? I interfere, and I'm in an interference kind of mood because I've been deep looking into multiplexes and multispheres, and I found in one of them Natural Ice 5.9 on the Richter scale for $13 for a 24-pack. And boy, I'll tell you what, after a couple of these, you have to interfere. So this episode is sponsored by Natural Ice.
It gets you in tune with nature.
Big time.
I don't know why that's not part of their marketing campaign. Yep.
So, we've had a lot of things coming on. We haven't been around. We did exactly what we said we weren't going to do. We said, oh, no, we'll be on schedule. We'll be okay. And then life interfered. You decide that you're going to go to Chicago for some ungodly reason.
Well, I mean, come on. There's real sports going on in the world, and the Giants have won 105 games. So we had to go watch them sweep the Cubs and go to Wrigley Field with my dad. I actually got a little emo at one point, going like, oh man, I can't believe this is like a bucket list item. Like, I'm glad I got to do this.
So, right. I don't ever want to hear you say emo again. You can just knock that kind of shit off.
Well, you know, but I mean, heck, part of it is drinking at the bars outside Wrigley, yep. You know, going around having a disappointing deep dish pizza and realizing that their thin crust stuff cut into squares is better. You know, all that kind of jazz.
Are we going to have this argument?
Oh, I don't. Do you like deep dish pizza?
Are you coming?
I actually do like it, but
I don't
think
eat it all the time.
I think it's a once a year thing, kind of thing. Like,
yes, yeah.
And that's coming from a guy that has a pizza a few more times than once a year.
That's right. I'm right there with you. I mean, it's not like I'm going out searching for it, but when it's there, I might grab it. But you're absolutely right. It might be once a year, but like, to just call out like this aversion to deep dish, I think is silly.
Well, it's funny because like there's people that have that thing. It's not pizza, and I'm like, okay, it's cut. It's a circle cut into a triangle that you pick up and eat. That's cheese and meat and sauce and bread.
I'll go like, on record that having cauliflower as a freaking crust, that's not pizza. But
I'd say it's more pizza than these stupid effing like. What did I see in the store the other day? Croissant crust pizza from like DiGiorno. Gross. Nobody wants a croissant pizza.
I did order it, and it will burn the piss out of your mouth. But
DiGiorno?
Yeah.
You can't order DiGiorno. It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno.
I know. Well, there it is. Okay, but good old cauliflower.
Yeah. So let's get back. What do we go to first?
There's a lot of good things.
Yeah, let's get into our namesake because I feel like we've. Yes. I don't know where did we end the last time we talked. Was it T'Challa?
Did we do zombies?
I don't know that we did.
Okay, we didn't do zombies because zombies was. Look, Sam, I'm not gonna lie. This show has kind of pissed me off in a lot of different routes. I know everyone can blow sunshine all over this and be like, "Oh, it's so wonderful. Look how it's kind of interconnecting." Da da da. I get it. And I can say that there are good things, but there are some things that they don't have a business meddling in. Zombies is one of them. Personally, I am a zombie aficionado. And so I will take, you know, my zombie stories in different capacities. You can have the you know, basically dumb zombies, fast zombies, somewhat thinking zombies. But really, you can't even have. I mean, there are certain things that I will go with, but you can't start combining them too much and crossing streams. Like, for example, having zombies that know how to cast spells, or zombies that know how to use a weapon. These kinds of things.
I know that that was how it was in the comic, But I think in the comic, they also retained their normal intelligence. So that's what I thought it was weird, that it's like brains slash, yeah. Oh, but I know how to do like a reverse kick with my arc reactor powering my jet boots like that.
Right.
Yeah, that did feel a little bit off.
Yeah. I mean, on a visual note, I think it was cool. Now, I did have some like, and my girls kind of corrected me on this. Like there were things like where like Bucky wasn't really at all upset when Cap got killed. Like, again, it's like these little things. I'm just like, wait a minute. But like, these guys are like your buddies and you kind of like just, it got kind of played spoofy. Now, again, it is what if. And so I don't.
And I think they needed some light. Well, I think they needed some light episodes because there was a lot of depressing episodes. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was basically Killmonger won. Yep. You know, Party Thor was, and Party Thor, I didn't even really enjoy. You texted me when you were watching it.
I think you and I both. I felt like that was the biggest waste of time.
Yeah, I didn't get what it was supposed, like it was, there was some, it wasn't as funny as it maybe thought it was. Like that's, I think the problem was that. I get that we needed like some lighthearted ones in there, but even that one, and I guess, you know, I heard somebody complaining about introducing the big bad in episode 8. And I was like, well, I guess they technically introduced him at the end of episode 7 because they had a light one. And then they went like, okay, foreshadow, here's what's coming up, you know? So, and I'm glad they got to it. Cause I think there was a lot of like end of episode kind of cliffhanger things that were unresolved. And I feel like, I think that they did that on purpose because they do want to be able to come back to some of these and be like, okay, here's what happened next. And obviously in some of them, we're going to get this Supreme Doctor Strange coming back. I mean, I'm sure we're going to get Agent Carter coming back, or Captain Carter coming back.
Yeah. So, I mean,
I'd be curious. Maybe we get, like maybe we get Spider-Man or somebody from the zombie verse coming or something. I'm not sure. I mean, I'm not exactly.
Yeah. See, I mean, is that what they're playing at, is like the, like we're creating the alternate Avengers? Because obviously they're stroking it up that.
Well, I feel like if you watch the old ads, that there was definitely some like circular shots of some of these characters in a circle, like the original Avengers movie was, where they were kind of comparing it back and forth. So I haven't, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw.
And we're obviously having Super Miss Marvel as the Queen Bee.
Yeah. Although she got. They've killed pretty much everybody in the show.
But then again, apparently she can't use her powers or she would actually blow up planets. I don't know. But like, again, look, I've never watched that and I don't really want to. So like I am on that fence where I just don't really care about her. I just don't have it. It hasn't been a captivating story for me. But so it seems like it's going to be Captain Marvel, Thor, Bucky.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Captain Carter, the Supreme Doctor Strange.
Like evil, but he's evil Doctor Strange.
Yeah. Maybe Bucky. Didn't Spider-Man and the Cape get out of...
Oh, that's right. It was Spider-Man and it Black Widow. Did Black Widow live?
She lived in the last one. So maybe Black Widow and that Ultron robot with Zola stuck in it will. We'll see. I knew that eventually there was going to be something that triggered our boy Uatu.
Yeah.
Although you have some theories that maybe that isn't Uatu.
It's not that I don't think it's Uatu. Now there's this thing like, and again, this gets really like, you know, I mean, people can get real, you know, jerked up about this, but like, we had kind of a slow burn with Uatu, or let's just call him the Watcher for right now.
I don't know that he's ever actually called himself Uatu, has he?
I don't know. I don't know if that's a fact or not. But I always thought, and maybe I'm wrong about this, that there were multiple Watchers. So this is where I can kind of relinquish my suspension of disbelief.
Well, we actually saw multiple Watchers in Guardians of the Galaxy 2 talking
exactly
to Stan Lee,
so, exactly. Yeah. And so anyway, I've noticed that they have sort of, for lack of a better term, colorized him. You know, he used to be this big kind of white baby face on a man's body, you know, baby head on a man's body. And it looks as though they've kind of started to give him a little more African American complexion. I just wish they hadn't done it as subtle as they had done it and just gone ahead and done it, because it feels like trickery, or it feels like, oh, here we're going to kind of inject some socialized politics into all this to make everybody feel good about what we're doing. If you're going to do it, then do it, but don't go half-assed at it and just do it.
Yeah, and I don't even know if that's, I don't know. Like I said, if we talked about it too, that I was like, if they were actually gonna, that's one of those things where he's an alien, who cares what color he is? You know, like if they made him look more like Jeffrey Wright, yeah, I'd be fine with that. I don't know if that's what they're, you know, I also feel like sometimes people get in their head, yeah, what a comic book character looks like. And if you go back and look at them, they have like no features. Yeah. So it's like, that's why I kind of laugh when people go like, he doesn't have the chin to be Batman. I'm like, fuck, I've seen so many different drawings of Batman. Sometimes he has a big chin. Sometimes he's got a little one. Yeah. Sometimes he's skinny. Sometimes he's huge. Sometimes he's, you know, tiny. You know, it's like, he's been drawn so many different ways, and all these characters have that, like, you know, if somebody wants to make a little stylistically different choice, that's fine with me. And like, plus I always, you know, I've heard that this isn't the case, but I've always thought that the characters in Archer were molded a little bit after the voice actors in it. Like, I think Cyril looks like Chris Parnell. I think that, you know, not totally, but like, you know, a little bit. And so maybe that's what they did with this, where they said, okay, you know, he's going to be the Watcher, but let's model his face a little bit after Jeffrey Wright.
And that makes sense. It's like, I get that. It's just, and I think maybe I'm coming from a sphere, and this is, you know, always been my, well, and something else we'll talk about. It's like where I'm coming from as old man, and like, I'm used to certain things, you know, I was very engrossed with the artwork. And so those kinds of things imprint on you, you know. It's almost like if someone did the Mona Lisa now, it would probably make people who saw it 50 years ago flip, 100 years ago flip, you know. There is just that little thing, and those kind of changes for old schoolers, it ends up mattering, because, you know, that's where we get imprinted on it, and we don't like revisionist history. I think that's the real thing. Is like, there's that push and pull of, are you trying to revise a character, or are you, you know, and I think that's where people get scared. And when people get scared, they get angry.
Mm-hmm. No, yeah, and I think that I think for the most part, though, it's probably just a stylistic choice. Like, yeah. I don't think it's trying to brainwash anybody.
Right. I don't think so. I'm not sure. The jury's still out, and I'm going to keep my conspiratorial hat on. I'm not loving the show, but
after all, Disney is suing the heirs of their creators of all their stuff to make sure they keep getting more money. Well, so it's not like I'm worried about this major corporation, or any corporation for that matter, giving me a moral lesson. So
right.
any of those are specifically made to appease shareholders, honestly. Like, that's that, if it was go if they thought the morals were going the other way, he'd be white as a baby, you know.
Well, and I do, but I did like, you know, this Ultron. I really think it was a miss not to have James Spader do it.
His name's Ross Marquand. I thought he did a pretty good job. Because I thought he had some of that Spader kind of timing and inflection with the way he said things. I mean, now it didn't necessarily sound just like him, but I was kind of okay with the voice being a little bit different, because, you know, Vision's voice sounds like Jarvis, so there shouldn't be that much of a difference. But
it can't be Jarvis, because Jarvis was in pushed into Vision.
Yeah, so that's why I'm saying that, you know, it doesn't mean that couldn't be James Spader's voice in there too, but you could also just say like, oh, well, his voice changed a smidge due to the organic nature of the Vibranium body.
Yeah,
yada yada yada.
So he was oddly emotional.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of threw me. Like, not that Ultron wasn't, but it was almost like it was that one time, like when he cut off freaking what's his face's hand. You know, it was that kind of thing. Like, he got kind of emotional there, but like, you, I don't know. It was one of those things. Like, you know, I still see Ultron as at its core, like a robot. And like, I don't know. I'm really nitpicking. I mean, I thought the armor was freaking cool as hell. And the fact that he just completely buzzed through Thanos was really kind of a both horrific and comedic both at the same time.
Yeah, and I saw some people kind of complaining about, oh, well, Thanos has five of the six Infinity Stones and he just gets dispatched so easily. It's like, well, because, yeah, because we're not trying to tell a Thanos story. We're trying to have him discover the rest of the Infinity Stones, and lucky him, they showed up on his doorstep.
And the thing is, like, he had the drop on him. If you don't know you're going to be sliced in half, then
yeah, it's hard to block it.
Right. There is such a case like you're just caught flat footed.
It does make you kind of go, God, Vision, you really could have helped us out in that Infinity War if you'd have just gotten your shit together.
Yeah. But overall, I mean, it's an interesting. I still watch it every week, but I'm not. I don't. It's not everything. The end all be all.
And yeah, it's definitely not the level of investment in like a Loki or even Falcon or WandaVision. Like those were definitely more, you know, in tune with what we're used to, more MCU focused. I think that those were much more successful. Not that I say this isn't a success, because I think I would like, you know, I'd like a season two. I would like to see more of it, but I do think it's been a little up and down. And, you know, I do have my favorites. I think the T'Challa Star-Lord is one of my favorite ones. But, you know, God, I'm already, this last one was pretty good. The Doctor Strange one was all right.
Yeah.
It was, but, you know, again, like a lot of them were bummers. You know, so.
Yeah, I just, for the most part, like, give it its Twilight Zone-ness and make them one-offs. I don't have to, and again, I've talked about this in ad nauseum, and I almost make myself puke at this time, but it's like, I don't have to have everything interconnect. Mm-hmm. You know, it does not have to have a grand story.
Well, and I don't think that every episode is going to. Like, I don't know that we're necessarily going to be like, all right, we're here seven people from these seven episodes. Like, here's this one guy. Like, I hope not.
I think it will. I'm really thinking that's what's going to happen. Now, whether that is goes into a cliffhanger for season two, that would be the smart play in my book.
Let's look and see what the episode list is. Let's see, because like I was guessing,
it's probably called Final Battle: The New Avengers.
I mean, I was guessing Captain Carter would be a part of it. T'Challa Star-Lord would be a pretty good guess. What if Earth lost its mightiest heroes? I mean, that just only had. I don't think that we're going to get anybody from that one. That's just Captain Marvel and Captain America and Nick Fury.
Well, they wiped off Cap's shield.
Doctor Strange, which I think is coming back, then the zombie one. Let's see, Parker, Lang, T'Challa, and the cloak go to Wakanda, whereas zombified Thanos wields a nearly complete Infinity Gauntlet. So,
do we know what the name of this final episode is?
Number nine.
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Then there's What If Killmonger Rescued Tony Stark, which I can't imagine that they're going to be like, hey, Killmonger, you won. We need you to help save the universe. I think that's, and then What If Thor Were Only Child, which I guess Party Thor may come back. But so, yeah, I would say the only ones that maybe I don't see someone necessarily coming back from is episodes 3 and 6. But yeah, it is going to be, and who knows, they may even have to like go to those realities to steal Infinity Stones or something.
I don't know. They can't do Infinity Stones.
Well, they're fighting somebody with all of them. That's now the Watcher kind of got his ass kicked.
Yeah. Well, maybe even the Watcher joins. I don't know. Who knows? We'll see how this plays.
Yeah, they've got far ancient technology that's they are afraid to give out to people anymore.
Well, it was weird when the Watcher was like when Hawkeye and Black Widow are like looking at the files, and he's like saying stuff like, oh, go get it. Oh, don't do that. You know, it was like, dude, you're acting really strangely.
Well, I think it's just because
you're so close. Like,
I think maybe because it's like, so he saw what happened at the end of the last episode where he's like, they lived happily ever after. And then Ultron shows up and they're like, he's like, what? And then so he goes to check in on that reality and see what happens. And so he's seeing what happened and he was like, oh man, I need this guy stopped. So get it, you know, that's where you first see him first leaning towards doing some sort of interference, because it doesn't going to work if there's nothing to watch except for him destroying universes over and over again.
When it was cool, that little fourth wall break too, when Ultron,
they called him creepy.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm glad they acknowledge, like, yeah, this is a weird guy, but it's like, it's alien race stuff. Like, it's, you know, it's basically like us watching a caterpillar on in their habitat and documenting what they do. That's not all that different, kind of thing. So,
well, going into something that I actually was very excited and surprised by is that Doom Patrol came back and dropped out 3 episodes straight away. Again, I will go on record that Doom Patrol is not for everyone, but I'll tell you, it's definitely not for the kiddies. That's for damn sure. But it has got to be probably DC's strongest serialized thing that I have seen. I mean, it blows anything that I've seen out of the door. It's weird. It's got heart, and it's got, like, just really interesting, creepy ass storyline about characters that I don't care about, like in the comic world. I mean, we're talking, I think it was like older than Golden Age. Mm-hmm. But they've, you know, modernized and in this retelling of this crew of kind of basically misfits, and they haven't, I mean, they work together, but we're still haven't really even got to that point where they're like all fused together. It's a dysfunction junction with superheroes. Like, if you're hardcore DC, I feel bad, because I think this is the kind of show that's been probably what you've needed for a long time. And there's literally 3 seasons now, and they're all freaking pretty rock solid.
Yeah, it's funny. I just, my DC bona fides are so little that it kind of falls off after Batman. Like, I think that's why I like the Harley Quinn show so much, is because it's
connected to something, you know. Yeah.
Yeah, it's Batman lore, deep cut, all kinds of stuff, and where they're stealing from all the movies, you know. It's like Bane looks like the Bane from the 90s movie, but he talks like the Bane from the Dark Knight Returns movie, you know. Yeah. So or Rises. I think that's the reason I haven't checked it out. I tried to give Teen Titans a try, and I think I got through about,
yeah, you, because you saw advertisements and you got a big boner about it, because
well, like, I just, oh, saw how many, cool. I was kind of crazy how many characters they have on it now. Like, it started off as like, here's 4 characters, and one of them's Robin, and, you know, now he's not Robin. I'm like, okay. And then, you know, I watched the whole thing where he's like, fuck Batman, and he kicked all those guys' asses, and I just was like, yeah, I'm not feeling, and it felt a little CW-y to me. Everything's
sure
perfectly lit, you know. It's just, I don't get the point of making stuff that, I don't know why you don't want your world to look actually lived in or realistic.
Sam, this is all the more reason why you need to watch Doom Patrol. It has all these things.
Yeah, so I think that's why I got to give this one a chance, because I tried Teen Titans, and it's not
fuck
even called
that.
Teen Titans.
It just,
but
get out of that.
Yeah.
Like, all my kids were the same way. They were like, oh, what do you think about this? I'm like, I think it's a trick. You're seeing an advertisement, and it looks good in the advertisement, but I guarantee, like, I don't have to I mean, I've been burned by that Berlanti verse enough times, and it's really extrapolated, even though, like, technically Doom Patrol is part of that. Mm-hmm. It is what Legion is to MCU.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It is really HBO Max property. And that's why I would never have bought the DC streaming package. It comes to HBO Max.
Oh, that was literally when I was like, sell your streaming stocks, because if they think that people are going to pay $15.99 for access to these, like, you know, Titans. And I mean, like, really, they launched it with like Titans, Doom Patrol, and the Harley Quinn show.
Yeah.
And it was like, okay, cool. So you have a half a year's worth of programming and Batman, the animated series. Like, nobody's paying $15.99 a month for this. It's like Disney Plus was $6.99 at the time.
Well, and they just recently, like 2 weeks ago, they had Batman Day, and they had every Batman thing you could watch. I end up watching, which I hadn't watched in a while and really enjoyed, was Dark Knight Returns, the animated version. you know, and it had the Frank Miller kind of art style to it.
Fantastic stuff. I mean, it looks great. Yeah.
I highly recommend it. Now, I don't know if Batman Day was a one-off, but I would wager pennies to nickels that you probably can still see it on HBO Max.
No, yeah, I've watched like some of the, you know, Batman animated stuff on HBO Max, and it's funny how some of it's like you go back to it and it's like, oh, it's more serious than I remember, and then you get like a joke.
They even had Batman 89. I mean, they had, you know, Michael Keaton action. I was like, holy crap.
Yeah, I'm excited / nervous to see what they're gonna do with Michael Keaton coming back in the Flash movie. The boys on the Weekly Planet keep calling it the Batman movie that the Flash is in, and it's just like, oh my god, it so seems like that's what it is. But you know, I think this is kind of like what X-Men had a chance with Days of Future Past and mucked it up. Is like, okay, you're going to have a Barry Allen movie. He's going to mess with the time stream. It's going to do a bunch of funky stuff, reset your universe, and then just go with it. And then, you know, God, get somebody in charge that reads the scripts and goes, okay, I need to change these three lines of dialogue and this one fact, because it doesn't mash up with the last movie that we made. Like, and then go from there. Like, because I know they still would like to get these characters together, but you know, just have things matter in each movie. Like, it's not that big a deal. If, you know, if S.H.I.E.L.D. is gone in one movie, we'll address it in the next movie. Even if they show up with another fucking helicarrier, just be like, yeah, we had the old one. You know? Yeah. I kept it in Germany or something like that.
Exactly.
So it's literally like they miss out on interconnecting these movies with like a line of dialogue here or there that could fix things. That's what's so crazy about it.
Yeah, just need to get a few comic people to just sit in these rooms and just at least kind of just be there. Maybe they don't do anything. Maybe they just sit around, smoke cigars, and puff blunts the whole time, and then just wait until they hear something that they don't like and say, hey, wait a minute, you got to do this.
Well, and I'd almost like it if they just said, if somebody raised their hand and they said, hey, you're stealing all the cool stuff from this Frank Miller comic book to put in this one. Like, you should probably do some different stuff and save this for when you guys want to make a Dark Knight Returns movie or whatever. Like, when you actually want to adapt this comic book of Batman and Superman being old and everybody's aged out of the superhero game, save it for that. Cause he literally picked out like most of the most like iconic things from that and put it in his movie. And it's like, well, cool. Now that when somebody, they actually do like decide to make that movie, it's kind of too late.
Yep.
Thanks a lot.
Yep. And then they're stuck doing origin stories again. All right. So, switch from HBO Max. So I flipped the channel and went over to Apple TV. Now, I have Apple TV for me has been a few high notes. I know that there's a lot of originals in there. Nah, I wouldn't say a lot of original. There are originals in there, but I haven't been. Ted Lasso obviously has been the pride and joy. That's been the whole reason I've stuck with actually paying it. Mm-hmm. And everybody was all gunned up and had their nerd boners on for Foundation. Now, I have not read any Isaac Asimov, so I have no like readership like stuff going on in here. Oh, by the way, probably need to talk about Dune, but maybe that we can wait on that. And The Many Saints of Newark, which is they're both doing HBO Max releases, but that's not till later this month.
Main Saints of Newark comes out tonight.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because I've, you know me, I'm always looking at when the next movie's coming out. Yeah, that comes out tonight, and next week's James Bond.
Okay,
Grouchy ass Mick LaSalle in the Chronicle said it might be one of the best James Bond's movies ever. So I was like, oh, like I wasn't, I was like the.
How much did he get paid to say that?
He's usually hates everything. So all his favorite movies are from the 1920s.
Oh, this is going to be really a contrarian Last Jedi. Oh, it's the best movie ever made.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the AV Club gave it a C, but the AV Club is kind of, they give everything a C, I feel like. Unless okay, it's like,
we'll watch that and we'll see. Is it coming up for theaters or is it on HBO Max?
I think that James Bond is only theaters, but I'm pretty sure Many Saints
make a shitload of money back.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure Many Saints of Newark is going to be one.
I know
of those
that it is. Yeah,
situations.
Our boy Coco Diaz is in it, and I can't wait to see what he does in there.
You know what's funny is it doesn't look like a Sopranos movie to me at all. Like it looks like.
Wait, just no, just stop. Just.
But
we're gonna see it and we'll.
Yeah, but then again, sometimes that just might mean they have a shitty trailer editor. Yeah. You know, so I'll wait to pass judgment.
They're clearly hiding some stuff, and so that's why I think the trailer was not good. They're hiding some information.
Yeah, perhaps. But I also just think, I don't think it's as much a movie about Tony as we all want it to be either.
Well, no, it's not. Tony, it's more of how Tony became Tony, but it's all the characters that we heard about, but we never got to see.
And yeah, so we'll get to actually see what Uncle June and his dad and stuff were like. But yeah, we'll see. I don't know. I'm trying to reserve judgment, but it's also got one of those things where I'm like, you put Ray Liotta in your gangster movie. You couldn't have found somebody else.
But it's a lot. But it has a lot to do with Chris Moltisanti's father.
Yeah, no, I know. It's just they went and put about two or three cliche ass gangster actors
Ray Liotta.
Yeah.
John Barenthal. Winner.
Barenthal was the other one that I was like, I have a hard time. Well, you know what? I like John Barenthal, but I can't see him and not see Punisher or Shane. It's just, I have a hard time seeing him not as John Barenthal.
Okay. He's going to turn you. I guarantee.
I forget. Is he playing Tony's dad or?
I'm not exactly sure. Yeah, that's Joey Diaz has been very hush hush, as they all have, of who's playing what kind of character. So, again, it's definitely it's going to be an experience. I'm excited for it.
Yeah, no. So I'm looking forward to that, and obviously James Bond next week, and then you know it's nice we're going to get to see. Like I was saying, it's nice to come on. We got to do a little what if speculation. Yep. And then we also get to do a little Ted Lasso speculation, which I feel like it's back on track.
Yeah. So we're going to Apple TV and I started talking about Foundation, but do you want
Sorry. Yeah. Well, you go ahead with Foundation.
Okay. So Foundation.
So I've heard about it, but I don't know anything about it.
Right. And I don't like, I know that there's probably there, as I've heard it and I've kind of gathered some information, there has been some character changes, gender swaps, race swaps, a whole bunch of stuff. Again, don't have any, you know, context with the books. However, I can tell you, I think, you know, Jared Harris, I think, is probably an undervalued actor, and I think he's great. And I without shaking things too much, you know, I wish there was more of him. It makes me feel like, even though this predates kind of sort of, I would think Star Wars in a way, or maybe it doesn't predate it, but like I wish the Star Wars universe could have seen this show before they did the sequel trilogy, because I think they could have gotten a really good feel for maybe where they could have gone visually. It is very much a lived in type world, but it's really interesting so far. And again, I don't know much about what I'm about to see, so I can kind of experience it normally.
Yeah, but it is funny how there's a different satisfaction in those two different things, isn't there? Like how it's neat seeing something that you've always wanted to see on screen.
Yeah.
But then there's times where it's nice going in without the expectations or the heaviness of being like, I need to see this, this, and this. Like,
which I think Dune is working against. But again,
yes, that's a good thing. Where I've never seen the original, I've never read it, so I'm kind of going into it like going, okay, well, they seem to really, and it seems like it's a movie built where it's gonna have a part two. Yes. I think that I've heard. So, yes. I kind of like knowing that going in, so that way you're not like. You know, like the first time I saw Lord of the Rings, I knew it was going to be a trilogy.
Yeah.
But I wasn't into Game of Thrones was the thing that got me into anything knights and wizards and swords and shit. Yep. I hated that stuff before. So I went in, I had kind of an open mind. And then when they just said, all right, let's keep walking. And then the credits rolled. I booed it. I was like a freshman in college. I was like, boo. And everyone's like, really? You didn't like it? I was like, what happened? They didn't get anywhere. Like, what? That's the movie? I was like, oh, God. I was like, can't wait to see the third one to find out what happens.
Yeah.
Well, of course, the next two end up being pretty good.
Recording in progress.
That was not fun. All of a sudden, my network dropped for a second.
All right. Yeah, no, I was just saying that, you know, you get through to it and then all of a sudden you're obsessed with reading up on it and looking at the maps of the houses to understand like who hates who and who likes this, and like just all that little stuff that, you know, they kind of lost track of by the end.
Yeah, and like, so, and I guarantee probably that the that Foundation is much in the same vein. I can just tell you that, like, on a science fiction level, it feels very, very good. And it feels like something I haven't seen before, but I can immediately kind of relate to the world, if that makes sense. Like, I mean, it obviously, its DNA is probably all over things that we've already seen. So it's almost like going backwards and forwards all at the same time.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, that's what the boys over on the Watch podcast were saying, is that it's a book that has definitely, like, influenced pop culture, and even scientists, the way they look at science has been changed by this book. So
yeah,
I don't know. I'm interested to check it out, see, you know, because they weren't super high on it, but I, you know, I think it's one of those things where you hear about it and you're like, okay, I think I should give it a try.
I think if you're not getting feeling something in, like, after two episodes, then I would say bail on it.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's kind of my mode, is like, yeah. I especially, like, I really want to give Why the Last Man a chance, and I tried to watch it the other day and I just wasn't in the mood, or like, just wasn't in the right headspace for it. And I, you know, he was walking around with his monkey and I just kind of went, you know what, I'm gonna back out and just go watch something familiar because I'm not paying attention and I need to just figure out, you know, a good time to, like, watch this thing where all the men die, you know. Yeah, yeah. Same with, like, Reservation Dogs. I feel like those are two shows that we've been remiss to talk about that I know are getting a lot of, I don't know if Why the Last Man is getting as much pub as Reservation Dogs did, but
yeah, I have Reservation Dogs on my queue. I just have not had time to get involved with it. Mm-hmm. I did, however, get involved. Oh, well, no, let's talk about our speculation on Ted.
Because yeah, so I'm glad it's back on track. I could see where it was kind of thrown off by getting those extra episode orders. It almost seems like it might have been a good idea to maybe structure the season a little bit differently. Maybe instead of, you know, I'm not exactly sure how you do that, but it just, the flow definitely got
fat pockets. Yeah.
Well, I think this goes where streaming hasn't quite figured out how to release yet, and that they need to have more collaboration with the creators. Like, yeah, it might be cooler to release three at once, but maybe the creator doesn't want that, or maybe the opposite. Maybe you're something like WandaVision where you want to release all three at once and then you didn't have enough time and the marketing machine already said you were going to start on February, whatever.
Yeah.
And so you're like, we got to start. So I feel like that's where, if you would have got all three episodes of Ted Lasso to start, it would have made a little more sense to start the season, and it might have changed the whole flow of everything. And maybe the Christmas and the Coach Beard episode don't feel quite as disjointed or out of place.
And I'm okay with bottle episodes.
I enjoyed both of those. I really did. Like, some people had issues with it. I sometimes think it's okay to take a break from whatever drama is going on in the show. Like, you'll be fine. Like, there's sometimes shows take a break for 2 weeks. Like,
it's, well, and our characters, like, for Beard, like, number one, I wasn't really, and this sounds maybe nutty, but, like, I don't remember him calling him Beard, and, like, it became like, oh, okay, so this is something new for me where Beard is a guy, and, you know, he was very mysterious, and sometimes you want to keep that mystery. And I think for the most part, the mystery with him is still there. And some of his oddities and weird things that he's into. But I think I that was a great episode, and especially, like, the idea of that it was his fault that they lost, in a sense, because they were too aggressive against Man City. And he had to understand that, you know, in a way that was completely antithetical to football, but it was more like, here, let me take real life experiences and kind of flip them around.
Mm-hmm. And I, like I said, I enjoyed it. And yeah, I think there was an aspect of maybe some of that stuff not happening. You know, like, I obviously don't think that the announcers were talking to him. That was him being hard on himself.
And I thought this was all going to be a mushroom trip, because if you remember, he said, I accidentally, then when they were having their kind of confidential of, like, telling truths or secrets, that he accidentally had drank a thing of mushrooms before one of the games.
Turns out that he wasn't apologizing for something he had done. He was apologizing for something he planned to do.
Yes.
So that's a fun little retcon for everybody.
Well, and look, and I thought I think as we all did, that Ted's father and he were, that was a completely different story. And to find out that his father killed himself and he found the body. And then the way they intersected and intercut those stories between Rebecca's father and him, I thought was absolutely a great artistic choice.
You know, it's funny, as I totally agree with that. The only thing I didn't love about it is that I feel like hearing your dad shoot himself while you're in the house and then going and finding his body maybe ranks a little bit higher than seeing one of your parents cheat on the other one. I don't think either are great. I'm not trying to victim shaming, yes, or victim blaming, or, yeah, you know, trying to weight one or the other. But that was the only thing that I felt was a little weird about it, that I was just like, ooh, Ted's feels so much worse. But then again, it also gives you more backstory for Rebecca. Like, this is why she put up with Rupert, because that's what her mom did.
Yep.
And this is one of the reasons she punished the team so much, is because her dad loved the team too. So it's like, you know, here, I mean, and who knows, maybe partially is that he loved the team because, you know, that's who she married, and then he became a big fan in his later years, or yada yada yada. But I thought that was an interesting thing I didn't hear anybody bring up on any of the recaps, was that, oh, her dad was a big Richmond Bulldogs fan. Like, I wonder if that had something to do with her little plan.
I don't know, but you know, and then she, you know, that she then learned how to deal with these people in her life, like, instead of always, but like, you know, then Sassy coming around and saying, like, you know, I hope you die. You know, again, these things are just, this show shouldn't be on paper as good as it is, but like, it's,
yeah,
it's just, I mean, it really, and again, this is where I gush on things and I can't help it. Like, and it makes me emotional, like, you know, and especially even Sam and Rebecca. Look, that, again, would they, won't they? And they did. And then it kind of amicably, in a sense, gets kind of like put asunder. But who knows what may happen? I mean, it's still there.
Yeah. And I always thought that was like a very adult thing for her to be like, hey, I got to think about this, like, you know, as much as I'm, you know, infatuated with you. And obviously they had a little bit of chemistry before this. So finding out somebody that you had chemistry with is like also this very romantically compatible, like, soulmate type person. And you're attracted to each other already on top of it and stuff. Like, it's probably quite the whirlwind. And I think that, but part of her did need to like realize, it's like, man, what, she is so on edge about everything going wrong all the time. Like, yeah, maybe she does need to do a little her time before she starts trying to focus on we type of thing. So, yeah. I couldn't imagine the optics of like an owner dating a player. Like, I don't know that it's ever happened, mostly because mostly men have owned teams and most of the teams have been of men. And, you know,
Marge Schott might've gotten down in the locker room. We don't know.
Mark Schott and Pete Rose, the untold stories. Yeah. So, you know, Mrs. Ford and the Detroit Lions may have something going, one of the Lions, but I don't think so. So yeah, it goes, usually I feel like in this show, I mean, what are they trying to say? Rebecca is maybe like in her 50s.
I would say so.
Yeah. So it's a little different, where most owners are in their 60s sometimes, unless they're like a young, you know, up and coming kind of rich person. But for the most part, it's usually kind of more cranky old guys that are running it. So I don't know. I could only just imagine if some owner of the WNBA, you know, turned out that it was dating their star player. It was just, and that's without the reverse, you know, kind of a woman in charge dating kind of thing. And then just the whole awkwardness of the press when it comes to footballers and their wives and the scandalous, like, she's already been involved with like scandalous nature things. So maybe that's one of the reasons that it's like,
Sam, look, at the end of the day, like, I mean, I'm gonna let you in on a little secret if you didn't know this already, but I kind of grew up on waiting for certain cartoons to come on. I would watch like soap operas. Mm-hmm. So I'm okay with some of these things. And especially when it comes to star players, like, well, here we got Jamie coming back, and the deal with Roy, and basically saying I love you, and the whole, I mean, Jamie's story is developing, and I like with Keeley, obviously there are still feelings there, because you know, he was one type of person going into it. I don't know how this plays out, but I am hooked into it. I mean, it's very soap opera-ish. That's why, you know, I love, you know, pro wrestling.
Oh my goodness.
You can take pro wrestling and you can look at the global positioning and how politicians behave just by looking at wrestling.
I recently found out that my fiance's sister's boyfriend is very much into pro wrestling, and they are going to a WWE event. And I just had to bite my lip and be nice, because I like the guy. I didn't want to, I don't think I know him that well to give him shit like I knew he is. So I was just like, oh, really? Cool. I'm going to Chicago to go see baseball games. That's what I'm doing.
Well, just ask him, be like, so you like the redneck soap operas.
Yeah, I think that's part. I think he likes the whole shebang. So I, you know, I'll be nice.
But what I'm getting at is Ted Lasso, like, and like, I don't think we have anything to fear about losing Ted. I think the story, we needed to start learning about the other characters, and I think now at season two, that's actually breaking through to where we're understanding more about each character, so that when it's a bottle episode, it doesn't feel like, well, where's Ted?
Yeah, and I that's one thing I pointed out early on, is that it did feel like much more ensemble-y than the first season. Like I felt the first season was mostly Ted's interaction with, yes, other people, and then maybe a little bit of other people doing stuff behind the scenes that directly affects what's happening with Ted. And this season, I feel like it's been much more, let's check in with Sam, let's check in with everybody. I mean, yeah, you know, whether, you know, just every, I feel like everybody's gotten a little bit more of the spotlight, and that's why I've kind of joked about it being a show that goes on after Ted, because you have so many characters on here you like. I mean, no Ted and no Beard, I have a hard time thinking about that, but
the show doesn't exist. It's called Ted Lasso. Stop it.
Yeah. You can rebrand.
that
Bulldogs.
Never work.
What, Richmond till I die. Richmond till I die. Okay.
Frasier is the only thing that I can think of that where that works.
Yeah, I mean, and it's amazing that worked too. But I mean, partially the reason Frasier worked is because they took an old character and then they introduced other great characters, like,
exactly,
his brother.
You have Maud. I mean, it can happen, but again, you know, there's things.
Mm-hmm. Well, there was only one other thing that we were going to talk about, and I'm surprised considering you're watching the other cartoon on Disney Plus, but apparently Moses in a Star Wars Legends, Legions, Visions, Vision, Star Wars Visions.
This
peaceful.
Shit's not for me. Look, Sam, I've come to terms. I really have, that whatever Star Wars is doing, Mandalorian aside, they really don't want me I am not their customer. I have come to terms with that. I don't have a whole lot of, I am not part of that anime crew. I mean, I love some of the older anime, again, from my childhood. But I don't really like that intersection. When I look at it, it's not for me. But I know what they're doing is they're getting, manga is huge, so let's pull that audience in and give them a Star Wars type story. I get it. But I know that I wouldn't like it. And I'm not going to watch it and then tell everybody, oh, how good it is, when I don't believe it myself.
I feel like I should give you, because I've watched seven of them,
okay,
of the nine, and
if
I feel like
give
I should
give me,
you,
give me
I should give you
episodes,
like two or three to check out.
Give me two.
Because I will say there are a couple that are questionable. Like there's one about a band on Tatooine that their bass player owes Jabba money, and I mean, Boba Fett's in it. Cool. I didn't like it. There's one about a
that sounds awful. That
there was
like
one about
absolutely
I
watch.
And I would say almost all the rest of them are about people with lightsabers and the Force and stuff. So, and that's my favorite part about Star Wars. So that's one of the things I like about it.
Where is this place? Is this what time period is this? Is it during? before OT?
I think it a little bit of both, because there's one episode where somebody has a lot of those droids from the prequels. But then there's one where there's Inquisitors looking around for Jedis to stamp out. Huh. So, you know, there's some interest. There's a couple of interesting ones. You know, like I said, there's ones that I felt like fast forwarding through, but they're only 10, 15 minutes long. So honestly, like if you can't, but I like the very first one, I enjoyed one of the more so than the other ones, there was one recently that was called like the ninth Jedi or something like that, that I also thought was pretty good. So, yeah, I'll give you a list of ones to check out.
I don't want a list. You're going to give me a list, and it has two. So I'll watch two of them. If I decide to go further than that, I will. But I know this is not my demographic.
All right. Well, then I'll say you should watch 1 and 5.
Okay. 1 and 5. We'll do.
Yeah. With 7 being the next one, I think that's okay.
Okay.
Right. I really didn't like 2 or 3, and 4 I kind of was one of those ones I wasn't paying that close attention to.
Gotcha. Yeah. Though we've kind of skipped the channel a little bit, like we do with channel surf around through the multiverse. I did enjoy very much a very slower paced. If you're looking for Unforgiven, if you're looking for Gran Torino, you're wrong. You're not gonna like this movie. But Cry Macho is fantastic. In fact, it made me, after I watched it, go back and watch Gran Torino, and then I watched an Unforgiven in the same day. So it was like a Sunday to beat all Sundays. Clint Eastwood at 91, and I have to believe.
Please tell me he doesn't fight anybody.
No, he doesn't. I'm telling okay. you, like, it's not Unforgiven. And it's not Gran Torino, so just know that off the bat. But it's got to be his last movie. And I'd like to believe that in some way it is still The Man with No Name, but it's really not. But because he's kind of transcended, the character that he portrays here is very similar to Unforgiven, and it's very similar to, well, not really so much Unforgiven, but like Gran Torino. But like, this character that lives in a world that is kind of, that's passed him by. There's a shot in it early on where it's basically like, I didn't cry, but I was very emotional at it. There were some scenes that are just good scenes, and it really was gut wrenching. And like, I gotta tell you, it's very interesting the way in which he delves into cultures as the man outside of a culture and how he relates with that culture. And I don't think there's many other directors and writers that have done that quite as well. Now, I don't think he wrote this, but he definitely understands the concept. He's definitely picking stories where he is the outsider, and a man out of time. And it's very interesting.
You know, I hadn't, that it wasn't something that I was looking forward to. And now hearing your.
Well, I mean, it's, you know, like, look, it's not fast editing. I mean, none of his movies are.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it makes me want to see movies like The Bridges of Madison County. That movie came out at a time in my life where that was the end, like, not something I was going to watch. You know, I want to see, you know, Full Tilt, you know, mind-bending type movies, not slow-paced. But, you know, I've always appreciated them, but, like, at that time, it wasn't something I necessarily would appreciate. But I think it's definitely worth, if you want to have just a relaxing, like, Sunday movie, that's it. Like, and check it out. And I think once you watch that, you probably will go and watch Gran Torino.
Yeah, I another thing that I watched recently on HBO Max that got a little bit of pub was White Lotus. It's a little 6-part miniseries about.
I think I've heard something about it.
Yeah, it's kind of about, it's about these people that go to this very exclusive resort, and as well as the people who kind of like are the concierge and front desk people of the resort, and you know, it's kind of like, who really are the bad people, or is it the people that work at the resort, is the people that go here, is it everybody, is there anybody, you know, it's mm-hmm. Steve Zahn's in it, Alexandra Daddario's in it, and it's one of those things where I got hooked into it, and then by the end, it's just it kind of just ends, and I'm just like, okay, you know, I think that it's an interesting little tale, but I almost would have liked not knowing, like they kind of start off with being like there was a death at the hotel, and then 5 days earlier, kind of thing.
I think what's refreshing is the idea that I watched something that's not going to have a part two.
Mm-hmm.
And it's goddamn contained.
Yeah, it's six and out. And it asks some interesting questions, like, you know, are, you know, stuff about like colonization and, you know, it kind of shines a light on both people who don't pay attention to some of the kind of, I hate to call them woke ideas, you know, people that dismiss them outright, but also calling into question some of their stances at the same time, like saying like, okay, well, you're right, but does that mean that we should just donate all our money and not go on vacation? And we're just bad people until like we're poor. Yeah. So, you know, like just things like that, where they do have people have these long drawn out conversations, and sometimes parts where you're like, why is this person talking to this person? Like, I understand they were on the same boat in, but like I've taken the same plane as somebody and I haven't talked to him for like 2 seconds. I've been like, oh, that's that person at the baggage that, you know, or like, oh yeah, I think I saw you on the plane. Like, yeah, nice to meet you. You know, like I'm not having like long conversations about like stuff, but it's definitely interesting. So I would tell people check it out, but I'm not trying to act like it's got the Sam Adams stamp of 6 hours of awesomeness either. It'll make you laugh. It'll make you kind of go, ooh, I wonder what happens next. But, you know, but it's also, like I said, it's done at the end of, you know, whether you find that finishing satisfying or not, is your mileage may vary.
Yes. Gotcha. Okay. Well, Sam, we have definitely thrown a light beam at the different walls here. And I think we have given people a lot to either agree with. Frankly, I don't care if they agree or disagree. I think the conversation is more important. So feel free to conversate with us over at Plus Watchers on Twitter if you'd like. You can always find us there, and then you can also find us on our individual accounts and whatnot. But I think we've given a lot of field to grow.
Yeah, so I think we'll maybe come back after we get to finish up a few things, you know, maybe finish up What If and Ted Lasso.
Yes.
And maybe even sneak in a Sopranos movie or, you know, if I'm lucky, a James Bond. I'm hoping the fiance lets me out of the house, that the Delta variant has calmed down enough that I get to go see Shang-Chi one more time in theaters, but I don't know.
Go see Bond.
It's a week away. the days when you could go see a movie once a week. I can only imagine what it's like once you have kids. It's probably
the price goes up a lot, and you also don't get to see the things you want to see.
Yeah, or you pay a babysitter and it's three times as much.
You got it.
That's what I love parents for. They better come in through. They better come in handy this first couple of years.
There we are.
All right. Folks. Well, thanks everybody.
We'll see ya.
Recording stopped.